Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi first quarter 2016 consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group first quarter 2016 results conference call. As usual, we will begin by providing some brief comments on the group results before leaving room for a Q&A session. The results for the first quarter of 2016 demonstrate our ability to grow profitably, profitability and cash flow, even in an environment which, as expected, is proving challenging in certain markets. In addition, we were presented with few extraordinary circumstances which limited the development of the top line, which was nearly flat year-on-year in organic terms. Our specific reference markets within SDA continue to be resilient and perform well. This is particularly the case of espresso makers and fully automatic machines. Also, the re-entry of Braun into the U.S. market continued to receive positive client feedback, which bodes well for the second half of the year, when products will reach the stores. On a regional basis, the APA region is confirmed as a main growth driver, with markets such as the United States and Japan proving particularly dynamic. This offsets the impact of a difficult macroeconomic environment in selected Eastern European and Middle Eastern markets, which negatively affected our sales. While not as prominent as in 2015, foreign exchange volatility had a negative impact of 1.6 percentage points on our sales, mostly due to the revaluation of the euro against some of the export currencies. It's also worth noting that the first quarter of 2015 represents a particularly challenging comparison base, as its performance was influenced by the successful introduction of the Nespresso Latissima Touch. Other exceptional circumstances which affected our revenue performance were lower sales of air conditioning products in Brazil in the context of unfavorable climate conditions, as well as a commercial reorganization in Turkey. Excluding these elements, rather than recording a decrease of 0.6% at constant exchange rates, our revenues for the first quarter of 2016 grew by approximately 3% year-on-year. This figure can be a better indicator of our underlying performance. In this context, we continued to deploy the levers at the base of our strategy. The successful execution of price increases and improved product mix and the leaner cost base translated into high single-digit growth in reported EBITDA, with improving margins and a solid net cash position at about 190 million, with a bank position at about 230 million. Let me now briefly touch upon the key items of the quarterly results, beginning with revenues, which stood at about 360 million, nearly stable year-on-year in organic terms, or -2.2% after the negative impact of exchange rates. By geography, Europe was down by 3.2%, mostly due to the performance of the northeastern markets at -6.2%. More in detail with regards to Russia, a difficult macro environment continued to weigh on consumer spending and affected some SDA product categories even before the impact of a devaluing ruble. Although lower year-on-year sales, our sales were, however, above market trend and resulted in an improved positioning despite the execution of price increases. for the UK market, weakness partially reflects a trend of destocking by certain customers, while Poland and Czech Republic posted positive results, double digit. Southwestern Europe was slightly negative at -1.5% year on year, affected by the mentioned commercial reorganization in Turkey, where distributors will be handed over to a local distributor, and a difficult comparison base linked to the introduction of the Nespresso Lattissima range in 2015. In this region, Italy, Germany and France recorded positive growth rates. Part of the Middle East, India and Africa region continues to be affected by political tensions, leading to a contraction in revenues of -7.4% year on year. The APA region continued to record positive growth. Sales in the United States, Japan, Hong Kong, and South Korea were the major drivers of an overall performance of +2.7% year on year. As for products, the quarterly results and what's seen so far in the year confirm the solid growth trend of espresso coffee machines, growing by 7.7% year on year, especially in the bean to cup segment, where we continue to strengthen our leadership. Manual machines and Dolce Gusto machines also performed well in the quarter, whereas the trend of Lattissima range is affected by the challenging comparison base. Within food preparation, it's worth highlighting the positive performance of hand blenders, which, however, was not enough to counterbalance the reduction in other product categories and destocking activity by certain customers. Ironing and heating products were also up in the quarter. Margins. Notwithstanding an almost flat top line, profitability and operating margins posted strong growth. This was the result of our actions on pricing, with increases to offset the rising production cost as a consequence of the stronger US dollar, as well as on mix and cost efficiency. Net industrial margin stood at about 184 million, or an increase of 5.2% as against quarter one 2015. This means 51.1% of sales, up from 47.5% of the first quarter last year. Reported EBITDA was 51.5 million, up 8.9% or 10.8% at constant exchange rates, with a margin of 14.3%, an increase of 1.5 percentage points year on year. Profitability growth was achieved on the back of pricing and efficiency actions, with volumes, while volumes were positive only excluding the mentioned extraordinary circumstances in selected markets. EBIT was equal to 39.4 million, 10.9% of revenues, growing more than 12% year on year after roughly stable D&A. Net financial charges were about 6.6 million, lower year on year, mostly due to the reduction in FX hedging costs, as well as a better bank net financial position. Net income pertaining to the group reached 24.8 million, up from 17.4 last year. Now I'll move briefly to comment on some key balance sheet items. As of March 31st, 2016, the group was in a net cash position of 190 million, improving from a 150 million net cash position as of quarter one 2015, and approximately in line with year end 2015. Excluding non-cash components, the net financial position versus banks and third-party lenders was positive by about 230 million, compared with positive 143 million as of the end of March 2015, resulting in a net cash flow over the 12-month period worth 87 million. That is after dividend payment in excess of 61 million and investment of more than 50 million. Finally, net working capital was significantly lower by more than 27 million from the end of the end of March 2015, decreasing from 15.6% to 13.1% as a percentage of revenues, mostly on the back of an improved management of receivables, including a higher use of non-recourse factoring. After going through the quarterly results, I would like now to turn to our outlook and guidance for the fiscal year 2016. Unchanged from when we last spoke in the top context of our full year 2015 results. Thanks to our successful implementation of the price increases across the markets and the healthy margins, we will invest more in the second half in marketing activities, media, and we will foster our growth in our core products, coffee and food preparation, but also enter in new core segments like healthy products, for example, blenders and juicers. In addition, we continue to see resilience and growth potential in the specific businesses in which we operate. This is coupled with a positive market response to our distinctive positioning predicated on product innovation and a portfolio of leading brands. With this in mind, we will keep our long-term mission of delivering organic growth at a mid to high single-digit rate and improving margins, although in the near future our focus will still remain to protect margins in the face of currency headwinds and price competition, even if necessary at the expense of volume growth maximization, as already seen in the first quarter of 2016. Moreover, our solid financial position grants us the option to look at growing by external lines. To conclude, quarter one results show how we are able to weather a volatile external scenario, which had limited impact on our top line and did not prevent us from posting strong profitability and cash flow growth. With this, my introduction is over, and I leave room to Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicola Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have a few questions about the Forex, first of all. I would like to know what would be the EBITDA margin, excluding the Forex impact, which we could compare with the 17.5% you reported in the first quarter of 2015. Secondly, you indicate two Forex impact on EBITDA in the press release, one of minus 0.9 million euros and another one of minus 6 million euros. It's still unclear to me the difference, so if you could elaborate about it a little bit more. Third, if you could update us on your expectations of the Forex impact for the full year. And finally, if you could provide some more color about the trends and the competitive environment in kitchen machines and your expectation going forward. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question is about EBITDA.
EBITDA margin excluding the Forex impact.
It would be 52.4 million euros against reported 51.5. Is this what you were looking for?
I was wondering if you could indicate the EBITDA margin, because in first quarter 2015 you indicated explicitly a 17.5% margin.
It would be adjusted. The last year we had a positive edging for approximately 5 million euros in the first quarter, which would make about 42 million EBITDA adjusted in 2015. From 11.5% adjusted first quarter 2015 to 14.1%.
Okay.
The first question is about EBITDA. The second question was about the impact of currencies.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We still expect a negative impact of around 45 million euros for the year.
Okay.
The third question is about competitive scenario for kitchen machines. What we are now, let's say, witnessing in the market is not a growing competition in the kitchen machines, where, on the contrary, Kenwood is maintaining its market position and its share of the market. We are witnessing now a faster growth in new product lines, more specifically in blending and slow juicing. Today, probably on the back of a very strong growth over the past 5 years in kitchen machine, we see now an acceleration of new business segments, which is opening now the opportunity for the group to accelerate and grow our position in food preparation, thanks to the opportunity given by these new, let's say, emerging opportunities, emerging markets. More openly, I would highlight the success of slow juicing or, let's say, more professional blending, and in some cases also cooking blending, where you will see in the future months very strong innovative launches from the group.
Okay. Thank you so much.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. The first, if you can elaborate a little bit more on your reorganization in Turkey. Why did you decide to give the distribution to a third partner? If you can, let's say, take out this contribution, you were mentioning that you are up around 3% underlying if you exclude this impact, and the other impact that is, if I'm not wrong, is more, let's say, structural impact. It is a quite tough comparison, unfavorable seasonality, but at the end, it is something that is structural in the business. The second question is on the organic performance. You were mentioning that volumes were up if you look at the 3%, so the underlying. Does it mean that price mix was contributing something like 2.5%? What is the impact from price mix in Q1? The last question is a clarification on the FX impact in particular. I'm a bit surprised to see that the FX on Q1 was really marginal, but you are still guiding for the 45 million that was the previous guidance for the full year. It's not clear to me if this guidance is comparing with the hedged position of 2015 or with the naked, let's say, position, as you were referring to the two numbers in Q1.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. First question about reorganization in Turkey. Turkey has been not a core market for De'Longhi, where we had a very small branch. Following the acquisition of Braun, we basically continue to hold a relationship with a third-party distributor for the Braun business. Given, let's say, the strength of the distributor and, let's say, the small size of, let's say, the De'Longhi sales through our branch, we have decided in a difficult market context that we could better perform in the marketplace, handing over also the smaller De'Longhi business to the former Brown distributor, which now is becoming Group distributor.
Mm-hmm.
While the group will continue to maintain some direct managed marketing activities to support the distributor with marketing campaigns and some store support in line with the group strategy to improve its presence in the stores. So it's a small reorganization, has impacted negatively, is a one-off, and I think it has been successfully completed. Another element that will have to, say, bridge to a 3% underlying growth rate for the group, that I mentioned, is poor air conditioning sales in Brazil. Obviously, this is on top of a very poor market condition. And unfortunately, last year we had a second half of the season, a very strong second half of, say, of the season of air conditioning in January and February, March, and resulting in about 20 plus thousand air conditioning sold. Unfortunately, the weather conditions this year were very poor, so we are left with some unsold air conditioning. But again, it's part of, say, of the risks of the business. However, seasonal products are like this, and we believe that, as said, also excluding the introduction in the months of January and February, March of Latissima in the Nespresso boutiques and in all the markets, we would have a 3% organic growth, which we think is a better indicator of our potential growth rate for the near future.
Mm-hmm. Also, well, sorry to interrupt you, but because in Q2 you are obviously comparing with another very favorable season, say, talking about the air conditioning. So do you think that the 3% underlying performance has to be compared with the last year performance, or should we take out also so the very favorable seasonality of last year in order to be more... say fair in the comparison?
Well, I would say that we believe that 3% can be an indicator of our potential growth rate for the next, say, 9 months. Obviously, we can have some positives or negatives in maybe air conditioning or heating, but also as we can have some positive negatives also in regions or specific product lines. What I would like to say is that it could appear from our reported top-line performance that the group is not growing. I think that in reality, coffee is performing very well, and the underlying, let's say, a more correct indicator of the potential growth rate for the group would be this 3%.
Okay.
And obviously, circumstances may happen, and we might have positives and negatives. But again, we feel that adjusting the top line, it would probably would give us a better indicator, as I said before.
Okay.
The third point was about the price mix, and again, yes, the 2.5% can be of the top line is delivered by price mix, as you were suggesting. And in terms of Forex, yes, we maintain our guidance for potentially negative effects for about 45 million. And in the first quarter, -6 was the impact in the first quarter. So if you know, sales are higher in the second half, and we expect in the second half to see quarterly impact grow accordingly.
Okay, so the 45 million is a comparison, the guidance that is comparing the reporting number, including the hedging. So last year you had a positive hedging in Q1, and so it was supporting the profitability, and you are down 6 million year-on-year in Q1, including the positive contribution. So the-
Yes.
It is consistent with the 45 million. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The next question is from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. A couple of questions from my side. Regarding the price increases, during the full year results conference call, you said that in some regions, with some retailers, it was difficult to pass on the price increases, and that in some stations you decided to go for price increases versus volumes. Can you give us update, how the current situation looks like? That's the first question. Second question, you said that you want to invest more in marketing in the second half of this year. So does it mean that we should not expect the margin expansion, given that you will reinvest, the margin expansion into the, marketing activities? Is that correct? And then, probably how do you see the current trading? So I understood that you were talking about, you know, adjusted 3% organic growth, that you expect similar 3% for the next 8-9 months. So do you see it already now? And if you had those kind of difficulties to pass on price increase and a bit of lost volume in Q1, should we recover, should we expect to see some recovery in the volumes going forward? And the last question, how is the U.K. going on right now? So you said that there was some destocking in Q1. Is this all over now, or do you see still subdued trading in the U.K.? Thank you.
Sorry, can you rephrase the first question, which was not clear to me? Sorry.
I asked about the price increases, because in the conference call during the full year results, you said that you had some difficulties in passing on the price increases, and you had some tough negotiations with some retailers. So I wanted to understand how situation is now regarding the price increases, and if you see some recovery in volumes. Because before you were saying that you're okay to lose some volumes, but to push on the price increases. So I was just wondering how now the current trading is going on.
Okay, yeah, okay, clear now. Yes. Okay, I think now price increase have been completely deployed very successfully. During my call, I mentioned that it could come also to the, say, the loss of certain volumes. In reality, I believe that it went better than originally forecasted. First of all, because we were able to deploy fully the price increases that we were aiming to, as a consequence of the power of our brands and the uniqueness of our products, and I think also the thorough execution by the markets. I believe that it went even better in terms of volumes, as in the end, as you will see, what is missing, in terms of top line, is more related to non-price, let's say, sensible products. It was lack of air conditioning in Brazil,
just nothing to do with pricing, or Latissima launch, which had nothing to do with price increases, as Latissima is made in Europe. On the contrary, it was due to focusing on other product lines, from a Nestlé standpoint. But and also the other big miss for De'Longhi was Turkey, where again is not related to price increases; is more a structural change in the route to market. England is just due to the stocking. So I think I'm more optimistic today than I was before, as we have well executed the price increase strategy. Now no more price increases would be necessary. As you see, we have very solid margins. And also the resilience of espresso and our core products is quite strong. This is making us more comfortable going forward. The second question is about the margins. I would say that probably this is the best quarter in terms of, margin improvement year on year, because the price increase was also passed along 2015 quarter by quarter. So probably you will see the gap in terms of margins reduced progressively in the next months. However, we're comfortable the margins will be healthy for the total year, and this is leading us to the decision of increasing our marketing spend. But we don't want to invest more in marketing to the total detriment of the increased EBITDA by year end. We want to still deliver EBITDA growth, but also to accelerate in marketing activities and support for coffee, for food preparation, and also some of the innovation in juicing and blending and healthy products. Third question on current trading. Probably some of the negatives of the first quarter, which dragged back our underlying profit, growth, will continue to impact and will probably progressively fade away in the next month. So I would say that you will see improvements in the second quarter, and hopefully we will be on target in the second half with a new guidance of organic growth of 3%. So probably the second quarter will be better than the first, and not yet align with our 3% top line organic growth for the remainder of the year. And volume destocking, yes, we've seen the destocking in certain markets, particularly in the UK. Also, this is normalizing, but this is part of the game. We didn't mention, it was not an easy quarter for Russia, it was not an easy quarter for Middle East, it was not an easy quarter for England. But the strength of the brands, the strength of the products, the success of coffee, I think it's making us confident that we will continue our improvement over the course of the year.
Okay, Lisa, thank you. And then just two follow-up questions. First, when do you expect some big launches apart from Braun in the U.S. This year? And how do you see the development of Braun in U.K. and France? Is it something meaningful contribution to Braun growth? And then the second question, I'll come back later. Sorry. So first on the big launches, and then I'll follow up with the second question. Thank you.
Problem is, again, we can confirm that the Brown relaunch in the United States has been very well accepted by our retail partners. We will start rolling out in probably late June, beginning of July, and we think that probably we confirm later on in the year our goals, which are to say reach about 25 million in sales over 18 months. Over a period of 18 months.
Sorry, I meant apart from not excluding Brown, not Brown, but other excluding what are the big launches for this year. And then on the coffee sales, you didn't say correctly that the coffee sales in Q1 increased by 7%. Is it including the lack of Latissima launch, or it's excluding Latissima? And then does it mean that Kenwood had pretty much similar decline, so high single-digit decline in Q1? Thank you.
Yes. Okay. The other launches will be in juicing with a new slow juicer and blending with a, let's say, sort of professional blender. These are probably the two products I will highlight in the Kenwood range. The second point about the growth rate of espresso is at about 7%, including the Latissima decline. So the underlying growth of, let's say, non-Latissima coffee is very, very strong. And then, obviously, we have some decline in Kenwood, but to me is very much related to the geographies. We still see a positive environment for food preparation, but unfortunately, Kenwood is so much exposed to England, which I said is very weak because of the stocking process at retail level, or the weakness in Russia, or the weakness in certain Eastern Middle East markets. Therefore, the performance of Kenwood is very much influenced by its geographic exposure. So, unfortunately, you might read as a weakness of maybe food preparation. I would rather look at it as a weakness of geographies, which is resulting in the weakness of food preparation. But we're still very confident that we see a growing interest from consumers in food preparation. And this is now expanding from just the kitchen machines and the food processors more and more into blenders and slow juicers, as people are more conscious about what they eat, about what they drink. They're more conscious, they want to be healthier, and this is opening the door to a great opportunity, and we want to really capitalize on it thanks to the innovation of Kenwood, as I said, the new blender and the new slow juicer, and we will invest more in media and advertising in the second half and going forward, of course.
Okay, so thank you. And just ask a follow-up question on the margin. So basically, in the next quarters, we will see a bit more pronounced impact from foreign exchange on EBITDA. And at the same time, we will also see a bit more of the marketing support behind the brand. So we should still see some EBITDA growth, but probably on the margin level, we should not see as much progression on the margins as we saw in Q1. So there will be more likely flat margins in the rest of the year. Would that be reasonable to assume?
Yes. Probably, I would say that the first quarter margin performance has been really very, very strong. I think that on one side, probably we will have a higher exchange rate impacts. On the other side, we might have now the headwind of some organic growth, but also we might have more marketing spend. All in all, our goal is to continue to expand our EBITDA and deliver
expansion of EBITDA in absolute value. Frankly, I really don't like too much to focus on quarter by quarter. I think that today De'Longhi is a cornerstone. We have completed a price increase strategy. We see improvements in current trading. We are going back to organic growth, and we think that in the second half this will be even more visible. I think the margin has enough to offset the great impact of exchange rate that we are waiting for. But in the end, we still believe that despite further investment in marketing, we can expand our EBITDA.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Luca Bacoccoli with Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Some questions from my side. The first one is on the adjusted top line growth, so I'm referring to the plus 3%. If my calculations are correct, the three elements impacting the underlying growth should have been worth about 30 million euros. So I was wondering if you can please help us to break down these impact between the Turkey distribution change, the problem in Brazil, and also the tough comps that you were mentioning on the Latissima. Then the second question, but probably you have partially already answered, is referring to the margin expansion, which was very, very strong in the first quarter, and I was wondering how to reconcile this margin improvement with the guidance, which is still pointing to an EBITDA growth only in absolute value. So you mentioned higher or better growing AMP, stronger FX headwinds going forward. So if there's something else which can explain the unchanged guidance in terms of margin expansion for the full year. And finally, the third question is on the external growth. You mentioned that the company has excess cash for more than 230 million euros at the end of this quarter, and De'Longhi was rumored being one of the several players looking at the WMF disposal. So I was wondering on this element, if what is the strategic rationale basically to look at this company, taking into account a sales mix which seems to be not so coherent with the De'Longhi DNA. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the first question is about the impacts, the impact of extraordinary top line effect because of Latissima, Turkey, and Brazil.
Yes.
So as said, exchange rates impacted negatively for 6 million. Latissima for 6.5, Turkey for 1.6 million, and air conditioning in Brazil for 4.3 million. So from a net reported sales of 368, we have a bridge that would bring us to 346. Ten million of impact adjustment on last year, which would bring 360. invested? 18 million, sorry.
Okay.
Exchange rates, 6 of Latissima, 1.6 of Turkey, and 4 of Brazil.
So most of the impact is coming from Latissima.
Latissima 6.5. Well, also air conditioning in Brazil was 4.3.
Okay.
And Turkey 1.6. Sorry. Second question on the margin. I frankly have already addressed this question before.
Sorry, I was temporarily disconnected from the conference call. So.
We'll try to sum up again very, very, very quickly for your benefit.
Thank you.
So we passed on to the market very successfully the price increases. Some price increases were also passed on to the market in quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four 2015. So probably the delta in terms of price increase will be reduced over the next quarters.
Okay.
We still continue to think that the margin will be healthy for the group as we have already passed on successfully the price increases to the market. We are also confident going forward that this will not affect our growth potential as you saw most of the negatives of the quarter in terms of sales were extraordinary items or non-price increase related items like air conditioning in Brazil, Latissima, which by the way is made in Europe, or Turkey because it was a reorganization. So we still believe that we will maintain healthy margins in a probably better with a better organic growth, which can go back to say close to normal. With say we have already said maybe a 3% target growth for the second half, 3% of organic could be a fair target for the group. Obviously, we will increase now as we see potential in new product segments, increase our marketing and advertising spend, which might impact a little bit our profitability, but not fully, because we still believe that despite the increased marketing and advertising spend, we can expand our EBITDA in absolute value in the second half.
Okay.
The third question is about WMF. Obviously, I cannot comment on that. You probably read some articles or Reuters on that. And frankly, I don't like to comment on the specific targets. But what I can say is obviously we are active in the market, we are looking to opportunities, and organic growth will be not the only, area of focus for the group. We are also interested in growing through acquisition in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
I have a follow-up on the consumer environment. So you were mentioning, particularly, for example, for the UK, the stocking impact and also some other markets such as Middle East suffering and Russia. Don't you think that there is... Don't you see any risk of really a weakening of the consumption environment? So not just the stocking for, say, adjusting the inventory level and the trade, but also a weaker sellout. Have you seen any indication of this potential risk?
Frankly, in the UK, we see potential for improvements. Middle East would be very volatile. We can have probably some risks, but I still believe that
the group can deliver its targets despite some say specific weaknesses here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, we have already absorbed very well the weakness of Russia and Ukraine. We had a very poor UK in the first quarter because of the destocking. We had also to cope with some, again, weakness in the Middle East, as said. So I, but I think that if and when let's say the weakness of Brazil, which will air conditioning is already now the season is over, so will fade away as also the latissima extraordinary impact of the first quarter last year will not be visible. We will progressively show improving numbers.
Okay. Okay, that's it. Okay, thank you.
Mr. De Longhi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you all very much for attending the De Longhi first quarterly. Thank you.